Spirit to fall mightily upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1126. I'm sorry, yes, Luke. Yep. There is a difference. Thank you. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. Just to set the context for this, we just heard from the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Luke is the author of both the Gospel of Luke and also the Acts of the Apostles. So when we heard in our reading, Luke make mention of his first letter, this is what he was talking about, the Gospel of Luke. So we see a connection here between the ending of Luke's Gospel and the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. And in a sense, it is the same message that Jesus is giving instructions to his disciples about what they are to do until he returns again. So let's listen to the words of Jesus. This is following his resurrection and before his ascension. So Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay into the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. And this is the word of the Lord. Well, when there is so much in the world that seems to be falling apart, it's a good time to get back to basics. Anyone involved in business knows that periodically you just need to get back and ask yourself, why are we doing what we're doing? What is our business model? What is our purpose for being? And so it's easy in the midst of chaos, it's easy in the midst of challenges to lose focus on the primary mission which we have been given by our Lord. These things can be distracting to us. You remember the story of Peter when he was walking on water, had his eyes fixed on Jesus, and he was doing just fine. And then he took his eyes off Jesus, and he started looking at all the wind and the storm whirling about him, and he started to sink. And so we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, get back to the basics, and not focus or be distracted by the whirling of the world's events that are swirling around us. That's our challenge for today. And so it's good to go back to the Bible and to ask ourselves some very basic questions. What are we here for? What is the church here for? What is our mission in life? What are our God-given goals? Pretty important questions. Well, to answer these questions, we're going to look at what happened in the early church, as recorded for us in the Acts of the Apostles by Luke, the physician. And so I believe we're going to be beginning a study of the Acts of the Apostles because we want to look back at what was going on in the early church, which was also suffering persecution and oppression, as we see in the world around us today, a coming storm of oppression and the violence we see going on, and just the chaos. So in a time of storm, in a time of chaos, let's get back to ask, what is it that we are really here for? So we're going to go back, and we're going to ask, what did Jesus tell his disciples to do until his return? In the Acts of the Apostles, we see what was written for a time such as then, but I believe was written for a time such as now. As Ronald Allen summarizes in his commentary on the Acts of the Apostles, he does a summary of chapter 1, and this is a quote from Ronald Allen. One purpose of the gospel and Acts is to urge the community to continue their witness during the delay by assuring them that the Holy Spirit continued to empower them even in the face of conflict. So let me read that again and see, I think, how appropriate that is, in fact, for our time today. One purpose of gospel and Acts, of the Bible, the Word of God, is to urge the community of believers, to continue our witness during the delay until Jesus returns by assuring us that the Holy Spirit continues to empower us even in the midst of conflict and chaos. It was true then, and it is also true now. Now we learn from Acts chapter 1 that after the resurrection, the disciples' primary concern was the establishing of the kingdom of God here on earth. They asked the Lord, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" What they wanted to know is, let's kick out the Romans and let's reestablish a Solomon-like kingdom where we get to reign supreme over our own land. It was a time of oppression by the Romans, and so they looked forward to Messiah coming to set them free from that oppression and to establish the kingdom of Israel once again, as in the glory days of Solomon. And so they were anxious for that coming, and that's what they thought Jesus was about, was, okay, Lord, now's the time, right? And basically, Jesus says, not so fast. He says, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed on his own authority. So he's basically saying, don't worry about that kind of stuff. That's off. It's a time the Father has set. You're not going to know when it is. But this is what's really important. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that was a basic mission that Jesus gave to the disciples. He says, someday I'm going to return and establish the kingdom. Yes, the Father has set the time. But until then, what is the church supposed to be about? To witness to Jesus, to be that witness. And so we see the same thing, or similar terms, though, mentioned in our gospel reading. We heard from Luke 24, said, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So here we see the same idea of a mission statement. You're to proclaim repentance, which is turning for the forgiveness of sins, and we are to be a witness of that until Jesus returns. That's the basic mission statement. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, Matthew put it this way, which is known as the Great Commission. Go therefore to all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And here's the second part, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So you see the same basic mission statement. Go out, proclaim the message of the kingdom of God. Now Mark chapter 16, verse 15 puts it this way. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. In John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus simply says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Do we see this common theme throughout each of the Gospels? The message that Jesus is saying, someday I'm going to return. Someday the kingdom will be established. Someday there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Someday all evil will be done away with, but not yet. In the meantime, I have a job for you to do. I have a mission, one that Jesus began but now continues through his church, to proclaim to people the kingdom of God is at hand, to proclaim that there is forgiveness of sins in the blood of Jesus, and so a calling for them to repent and turn from the ways of the world, to turn to the true King, the King of all creation, for the forgiveness of their sins. And then we are to witness to that message that, let me tell you, I have experienced this. Let me tell you what it's like. And so we see, if we ask ourselves, well, what does it mean to be a witness? Peter, again, I think was very consistent in this message. As we heard in Acts chapter 10, verses 42 and 43, he goes to the home of Cornelius, and the Holy Spirit falls upon them. He tells them about Jesus, and they say, what should we do? What about Jesus? And he says, this is what Jesus told us to do, and now it's going to be the same for Cornelius, and it's the same for us today. He, Jesus, commanded us to preach to the people, to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. So that was the message, forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and that's available to all who call upon the Lord. We've experienced it. We've seen it in our own lives. And now we want to be that witness out into the world. And so the essence of the gospel, this good news, is not about healing, although healing is important. The gospel is not about helping the poor and needy, although helping the poor and needy is very, very important. The gospel is primarily not even about being a good person, although being a good person is really, really important. Primarily, the gospel is about the forgiveness of our sins, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. The forgiveness of our sins because of what Jesus has done for us. And so the message is this: repent. Turn from the kingdom of the world to the King of all creation, to Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins by the blood of Jesus. And this is our witness. Let me tell you what it means to me to know that I have been forgiven, that my sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. This is what life on earth until Jesus returns is all about: proclaiming the message and giving the witness, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So that is our teaching today. Now the next question is then, what is the application of this teaching, of this mission? And I would say for you that, for me personally, as I was going through this teaching this week and praying in response to it, that I was going to the Lord and in a way kind of feeling convicted that I had maybe lost some focus on the primary mission, because I shared with the Lord in my prayers that my primary desire, until he comes again, is to be a healer. The thing I want more than anything is to be able to lay hands on people, anoint them with oil, and have all the pain go away, have the cancer be healed, have the trials and the tribulations be done away with. That's the greatest desire of my heart, and every time I pray over someone for healing, that's my hope, and I wish it happened more. And so I said to the Lord this week in my prayers, I said, Lord, what I really want, I now know this witness stuff. I said, but I really, I want to be a healer. I want to be able to pray for people and have them be healed and strengthened. And the Lord said to me, when I say that, what I mean is a specific thought was put in my head, spontaneous thought, comes into my mind, but it's very unique. I've learned to recognize it as the word of the Lord. I say, Lord, I want to be a healer. I want to be able to lay hands and deliver people from pain and suffering. And the Lord said to me, first, you have to be a witness, and then you can be a healer. He said, first, you be a witness. That's number one. He says, then we can talk about healing. And I felt convicted by that. Okay, I guess I need to follow what the scriptures reveal. As much as we all, I think, want healing and to be able to drive away all the pain and the suffering we see around us, Jesus is saying, first and foremost, the kingdom of God is about repentance, turning from the world for the forgiveness of our sins. And so I was really convicted by that and thought, okay, Lord, we need to get back to basics. What is the true message of the gospel? What are we supposed to be doing? And so, first and foremost, to proclaim the message and then to be a witness to it. Now, I have to admit, as I say this, I was not feeling a calling so much to go on street corners and to start, you know, beating people over the head with the Bible or proclaiming things, although some people are called to that, and I thank God for that ministry. But in one of the ways I was reflecting, again, what's the application of this teaching in my life, I just offer as an example to you, was somehow to be a better witness to Jesus and to be a better witness about the kingdom of God. I do believe you need to look for open doors. Where do we see the Holy Spirit already working in someone's life? It is the Holy Spirit who convicts people of sin. I don't need to be going around telling people you're a bunch of sinners or you're a sinner or what you're doing is sinful. The Holy Spirit does that. And so we look for open doorways where we see the Holy Spirit already working in someone's life. And there's little ways we can do that. Some people tell others, say, oh, I'll pray for you. And you just see how the person responds to that. Well, I was kind of convicted this week to do something a little bit awkward, in some sense a lot awkward, because I've been trying it for 3 days and I'm still struggling with it. But how often it occurred to me that people ask you, how are you doing? Oh, how you doing? Get it all the time. And of course, our lives may be falling apart, right? But what do we say? Oh, yeah, great. Things are fine. Everything's good. Yeah, wonderful. Thanks for asking. And so instead of that, what I'm trying to get myself to do, although it's a tough habit to break, it's so quick to respond and say, oh, yeah, things are fine. What I'm trying to respond with is, how are you doing? I'm doing as well as God wants me to be. I'm doing as well as God wants me to be doing. I've already done it a few times. Kind of interesting to see a reaction because people don't expect you to say something like that. Do you see? And so it raises a thing in their mind. What do you mean? As good as God wants you to be doing. I mean, like God's in control of your life? Yeah. Like everything happens to you depends on God's sovereignty? Yeah. Those are all the things that can come from that. But again, you can see somebody might just slough it off, or some might say, wow, so you're doing as good as God wants you to be doing. Guess what? You know, they maybe say about themselves, I guess I'm doing as good as God wants me to be doing. And so that's a little way I'm going to try to be a better witness to Jesus Christ and to his presence in my life, because once that doorway is open, then the next thing is, well, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what it feels like to have my sins forgiven, to know that my sins have been forgiven. You see, another part of this is we cannot give away what we do not have. How can we be a witness of the joy of knowing that our sins have been forgiven unless we personally have experienced that joy of knowing that my sins have been forgiven by God? Think back to all the mistakes we've made, all the things we've done, that if we were to share, we'd be totally embarrassed of the things that we've done in our lives, and how the enemy uses that continually to bring those memories back to us, right? And remind us, oh, remember what you did back so-and-so? Remember what you did to so-and-so? And it's horrible. We can beat ourselves up over that. And it can drive us into despair, into depression. And instead of that, my thought is to turn that around. And when the enemy plants those thoughts or within our own mind, we bring those memories back that, boy, what a horrible person you were back when. Is to say to myself, yeah, that was really bad what I did. But you know what? Isn't God a great Savior because he's forgiven me of that? And so I take what was bad, the bad thought, the destructive thought, I turn it into a praise and say, wow, yeah, what I did was horrible. You know what? Isn't it amazing that Jesus forgave me of what I did and he set me free from it? And now I can just release it and set it aside and just have, am I still sorry? Yeah, I'm sorry I did it, but gosh, the guilt is gone. The guilt is gone. I've been set free by Jesus. And once we have experienced that, the joy of knowing that truly all the mistakes I've made, all the things that I've done that I have so much regrets for, it's washed away by the blood of Jesus. And Jesus says, it's gone. It's gone. One of my favorite stories, I've shared this before, those have been here a while, I keep sharing stories because I think they're so darn good. Involves a bishop, and there's a little girl, and the girl claimed that she spoke with Jesus. And so it kind of got around this village in the town that here's this little girl, and she's talking to Jesus, and it's like scandalous. scandalous that this little girl claims that she's actually having a conversation with Jesus. That tells us a lot about culture as well. And so eventually it comes to the bishop's attention. He's like, I need to talk to this girl. So they bring her in, and here's bishop talking to the girl, and he says, so I understand you have discussions with Jesus. And she says, yes. And he says, well, tell you what, next time you talk to Jesus, you ask Jesus, what was the greatest sin that the bishop ever committed? He's like, well, I've got her now. We'll find out. We'll put this hoax to bed. So she's like, okay. So she went away. He didn't hear anything for a week or so. And finally he gets the word, this girl wants to come back and see you. And he's kind of surprised. He thought he'd been done with it. So he brings her back in. And he says to her, kind of quizzically, he says, so you had another conversation with Jesus? Yes. Did you ask him the question I asked you to ask him? What was the bishop's greatest sin? She said, yes, I asked him. What was Jesus' answer? Jesus said, I don't remember. Jesus said, I don't remember. Because I washed it away with my blood on the cross. I don't remember. We remember, don't we? And we beat ourselves up over it. Can you just imagine the joy, the true joy of really knowing that my sins have been forgiven? Are some of us in that place? My wish is that all of us would be there. To have that assurance that no matter what, we've got a great God and a great Savior. And he truly has washed away all of our sins. And for that, we're eternally grateful. And when we know that, when we truly know that and have experienced it, we can be a witness to tell others in the world, let me tell you what it feels like to know that all the mistakes I've made, all the sins I've committed, it's all been washed away by the blood of Jesus. And that everyone out in the world, they can have that same sense of freedom, that same joy of knowing that I've been forgiven. Wow, what a mission. That is what Jesus wants us to be about. Taking that message to the world and calling them. You know what? You're following the ways of the world. How's that going for you? Well, not too well. Let me tell you about Jesus and about the kingdom and about the forgiveness of sins. My brothers and sisters, this is an awesome mission that he has given to us. And once we focus on this, guess what? The healing and the other ministries all come following it. Helping the poor and all that comes out of this acknowledgement, this truth of first and foremost knowing I'm in right relationship with God because Jesus has forgiven my sins. My prayer is that all of us would come to that deep sense of knowledge that we could be good witnesses of the kingdom of God, repentance, the forgiveness of our sins, and the joy of salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. It's here. The best is yet to come as we stick to the word of God, stick to the basics, stick to the priorities. And we'll know in our hearts that God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this mission that you've given us to proclaim the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. What an awesome message it is. But first and foremost, Father, we pray that we may know and experience this forgiveness ourselves. And maybe we just have to keep repeating it over and over again. God has forgiven me. God has forgiven me. He washed it away. He washed it away. Help us, Lord, to know. For those of us who do not know it, help us to know, truly know, in the deepest part of our knower, that we have been forgiven because you love us so, because of what Jesus did for us, not what we have done. And so it is all in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.